All right. So I'm going to talk on do not be deceived. This year we started, our theme for this year is be bold. And we did a series for 5 weeks on a topical series from the book of Daniel. And we were talking about being bold. And if you've missed that, that's on Spotify and YouTube. You can avail that platform to revisit it, re-listen to it, or listen to it for the first time. It's been a fantastic series. And last week, I talked about know your enemy. Because you see, a lot of us as Christians, we may not understand, but we are in a battle in the heavenly realms. Amen. We are in a battle, and the battle is in the heavenly realms, and the devil is after you. Now, John 10:10 talks about it, that the devil has only one plan. And what is that? To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's right. To steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's the plan of the devil. But God says, I have come to give you life and life in abundance. Hallelujah. Now, God wants us to live in a life of abundance. And I tell you, nowadays, Christians, we are far more afraid, far more conscious of people around us, far more conscious of what other people think about us, far more scared to preach the gospel. More than ever before, now is the time for the church to walk in boldness. Amen. Hello. The world is so loud. The voice of the world is far more louder than the voice of God in our community. So we need to be bold to declare, not just whisper, be bold. Amen. Not give your opinion, but speak the word. Hallelujah. Right? And so now, last week we looked at the know your enemy, which is the devil. And I said it's not your husband, not your wife. They're not your enemy. It's not your mother-in-law. I picked on my mother-in-law last week. It's not your mother-in-law. It's not your father-in-law. It's not your siblings. The enemy is the devil. Amen. We fight the devil. Just like God uses people, the devil uses people. Yeah? You with me? Right? The devil is attacking our identity. The devil is attacking our peace. The devil is attacking our security. The devil is attacking our hope. The devil is attacking our future. The devil is attacking our children. And we name that, and we put knowledge above truth and say, oh yeah, that's schizophrenia. Oh, that's, and we got this nice fancy names. Oh, that's ADHD. What's the other one? ADD or ABCD. We're giving all these alphabets to names. But I'm telling you, we have the word. Come on, someone. Stand on the word and declare the word. Maybe you don't fully have faith in the word, but the word has the power to destroy every sin, every sickness, and every lie from the devil. So we're going to talk about do not be deceived. Turn to your neighbor and say, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. Amen. You know, Christians, as Christians, we are deceived in many things nowadays. I want you to follow with me because I've got quite a lot of notes that I want to share with you today. And if you miss some stuff here, I want you to go back and listen to it. Okay? But we are not to be deceived. The devil is a trickster. He's a trickster. He's a deceiver. One of the greatest weapons the devil uses now today is called deception. Deception. You might be a Christian before Jesus was born. You might be a, you know, you've been, I'm exaggerating now, but you might be a Christian for a long time, but you are deceived and I am deceived. We all can be deceived. We all can be deceived. There are a number of people in the Bible who God called, God anointed, God chose them, yet they fell in the trap of deception. So don't think that you won't be deceived. You will be deceived. I will be deceived. But when we are in deception, how do we fight the devil? It's with the word of God, not with our thinking. Our thinking does not help us. We need to renew our thinking with the word of God. Amen. All right. And I've got a confession to make today, and the confession is I've lately joined the gym. Okay? And so this is interesting, but I tell you, because I'll say I need to really get fit in my body. I'm fit in my mind and my spirit, but my body, I want to make sure that I look after this body so I can still be a terror in the kingdom of darkness. That's my motivation. In the meantime, if you see 6-pack, 8-pack, 1-pack, backpack, you know, whatever pack, ice pack, I need an ice pack. Because I tell you, there are some muscles, I didn't even know they existed, they hurt. And so the reason I'm talking about this, and I got a dumbbell here, you know, I got a dumbbell here. I'm going to use this as an illustration. But you see, one of the things I've been doing a bit of gymming with Elijah and Jericho. And Jericho is a lovely young man, okay? Lovely young man. And he just gave his heart to the Lord, got baptized a few weeks ago. How cool is that? Amen. Lovely young man. God is restoring his life. But I see this just a soft, beautiful spirit the Lord put in him. And whenever he's pushing me and lifting weight, it's beautiful. But in his nature, he's beautiful. But this is what he does. And he's a bit of a trickster. He initially makes me do light weight. And I'm thinking, this is easy. I can do this. So let's say if it's 10 kilos, it's easy. He says, easy, right? I said, yes. And then he goes on to increasing the weight. So let's say it's 45 kilos. Now, that's a lot for me. For some, it's not, but that's a lot for me. And I'm going, oh, man, this hurts. This hurts. See, initially, I'm thinking, oh, this is good. It's easy. I can do this. And then he increases the weight, and I'm going, oh, then the pride kicks in, you better do it. And I'm manifesting, you know. And Elijah is always with a camera. And and I look like I'm constipated most of the time. And then you see, and then the pride kicks in. I'm like, I'm going to do it. I'm gritting my teeth. You know. And then he says, after three reps? See, I'm still learning the lingo, whatever we do. Then he says, okay, let's do lightweight. And after a while, even to lift 5 kilos, I can't do that. And my muscles, it's like I'm dancing like Elijah. I did legs on Friday and I was literally couldn't walk. I was doing this, you know. And I was like, I wasn't dancing, but my muscles were weak. Now, why am I sharing this with such great detail? At the expense of my own embarrassment. Is that there's a point. Whoa. You know, that sounds like anointed. You know. There's a point, and the point is, the devil always sneaks in. I often say the devil doesn't leap on us, he creeps on us. It's a small door we open to the devil. And you think, oh, I can do that? You know, it's a little, I'm not sinning. It's just a one glass of wine. It could be whatever you think, it's just one glass of wine. Oh, I love this lovely dress. And it's after pay. It's one transaction. It's just a little bit of a flesh of a woman that I'm watching. See, it's a one small, and then before you know it, you're fully into it. And then after a while, now we're living with guilt, we're living with shame, we're living with pain. Amen. And we condemn ourselves. Come on. And then even light weight becomes heavy weight. What do I mean by that? To keep a relationship becomes a challenge. People get so depressed because they've been hiding secrets. Hello? Even to brush teeth. I've met some people with chronic depression. To get up and brush their teeth is a difficulty. Small things become big things because we've given into the devil's strategy. I know I was so thoughtful there, but I want to bring you back to my weight. So I'm going to pick on Jericho because he's been picking on me lately. Jericho, come up here, buddy. Come on. Look at him. He looks like a Hulk.
Hey, how are you?
Good to see you.
How good does he look?
Let's go.
Yeah. I want to give you this. 3 kilos, right? It's a lightweight, yeah. Right? So can you hold this lightweight in that, what do you call it? Position. That's the one. See, I'm learning all this. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Now, look, this is good. Don't worry. Don't look at this. Look at Jesus. All right? Yeah. So I want you to keep holding that. We're going to test him, okay? Because it's 3 kilos. It's easy. Amen? You don't need muscles like this to carry that. Even Josiah can carry that. Of course. Right, because you don't need muscles. But I'm going to leave him carrying it after a while, and let's see what happens. Why I'm saying it is because it is deception. We're talking about do not be deceived. And the thing is, you see, a little bit of unforgiveness, come on. It's only a little bit of unforgiveness. I can hold on to that. You can hold on to that for a week. You can hold on to that for a month. After a while, you have got a tank full of unforgiveness that you cannot hold on, but you wait under that. It's the small things the devil will use. In Song of Solomon, this is not even in my notes. We'll get there. In Song of Solomon, chapter 2, I don't know, somewhere in one of those verses, it says, catch those little foxes. Catch those little foxes before they ruin the vine. Catch those little thoughts before they ruin your destiny. Come on. Amen. I think I'm doing better than your response this morning. Yeah? Catch those little thoughts that destroy your mind before they permeate and take over you. He's doing a good job, but catch those little ideas that says you're not good looking. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Why? Because you are created in the image of God. Catch those thoughts. Deception. You okay?
Yeah.
Keep going. No, keep reading. No. I got to see him tomorrow morning anyway. So what you sow is what you reap, the Bible says. So he will pick on me. I want you to keep holding on to that, please, for a while. But do not be deceived. And I want to say from Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, and listen to this. And Jesus answered, because Jesus knows you and I will be deceived. And that's what Jesus is talking about, deception. He says, and Jesus answered and said to them, take heed, that means please listen, that no one deceives you. No one deceives you, for many will come in my name. Is it so? Is it? Are you faking it? So? No. It's easy, man. Look at that. Yeah. Give him a hand, please. For many will come in my name saying, I am Christ, and will deceive many. Be careful that you not fall in the trap of deception. There have been many people who have said, I am the Christ, and we know that they are not the Christ. But there will be many that will pretend to be Christ in the last days. We better be careful. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. Satan, who is the god of this world, you may think Jesus is the god of this world. No, yes he is, but Satan at the moment is ruling this world. Satan's not in hell, he's on earth. He's on earth. And he says, Satan, one day he will be in hell. when Jesus comes, Satan, who is a god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Come on. Where does Satan attack us? Our minds. And so he says, Satan is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. People today cannot recognize the good news of Jesus Christ. Why? Because they're blinded. They're blinded. And they think that Christianity, Jesus, is just a useless organized religion. No, it is not about religion. You and I know that he's overcome Satan. He will come back. He will judge. There is such a thing called sin that we need to repent. There is such a thing called holiness that we need to walk in. You don't need to be holy when you're in heaven, because heaven is already holy. Holiness is required here on earth. One amen. Whew, that's a lot there. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Paul is encouraging the church at Corinth. And then verse 23 in the same chapter. Then if anyone tells you, look, here is the Messiah, or there he is, don't believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and perform great signs and wonders so as to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen ones. See, I have warned you about this ahead of time. So he's saying that, look, don't listen to people that say, here's a Messiah, there's a Messiah. Why? Because they're good at talking. They're very intelligent and they can captivate you by their words. They can perform a few miracles here and there, but that doesn't make them the Messiah. Today, I tell you, if this church would be fully packed, if we had healings and miracles. Because people are chasing healings and miracles than the healer and the miracle maker. See, this is the problem. Don't base your relationship with God just on miracles. A lot of people seek miracles. A lot of them want miracles. Oh, God is moving here. God is moving everywhere. He is. He's moving right here just as he's moving in South America. All the Colombians said, hola, amigo. Yeah? He's moving exactly the same way in Asia just as he's moving in North America. But you see, don't base your Christianity, your faith by miracles, because today you had a miracle, tomorrow you may not have a miracle, so you don't get deceived. Miracle or no miracle, I will follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. You know, when we look at Exodus chapter 7 and chapter 8, we see when Moses and Aaron, they perform miracles in the courts of Pharaoh. And also Pharaoh calls his magicians, amen? And they perform miracles too. See, performing miracles doesn't mean always it's God. I have seen some miracles that were done not by God, but by other demonic spirits. I have seen other demonic spirits act like bright light. We think bright light is God. But the Bible is clear in Ezekiel chapter 28. We looked that he is beautiful and he's perfect. Who are we talking about? Lucifer. So don't be deceived by miracles and by experiences. Okay? This is something that I wrote. See, we can be obedient to God, yet we can be deceived. I'll probably say it this way. We can be obedient to God and still be deceived because we don't love God. There are a lot of people who are obedient to God, but they don't love God. I'm obedient to the cops when I see the lights. I don't love them. I am the best Christian on earth when I see cops. You know, and they did the breathalyzer, and I passed, praise God. You know, if I failed, I wouldn't tell you. They start, but I'm like, whoa, am I driving? I was driving 30 at 50. I was like, too good. I'm obedient, but I don't love them. There are a lot of Christians, we've been taught to be obedient to God, but we never loved God. There are a lot of us who've been taught to be good, but not godly. We focus so much on good, being good behavior, but not godly behavior. We praise on good behavior, but not godly character. And I love this about King Solomon in 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon, we read about the man who built the temple. You know, David built the temple with blood and war, but Solomon built the temple with wisdom. Amen. If you read your Bible, you understand that story. And the temple that he built is beautiful. I mean, some of the amazing things Solomon did. He was the wisest of all the wise people. Amen. There's no one else been that wise ever before. He's the wisest of all. And yet this wise man, Solomon, lost the plot and he didn't finish that well. Why? Because he let deception take over. And one of the ways in 1 Kings chapter 11, it says he was deceived by his many wives. He had 300 wives, or 700 wives and 300 porcupines. Oh. You see, if the greatest, wisest of all can be deceived, you and I can be deceived too. Amen. The danger for us is to think that we're not being deceived are the very ones that are being deceived. And I want to show you some of these deceptions soon. But I'm laying a bit of foundation to say, look, you may start well, but be careful that you do not be deceived. And then we excuse ourselves, oh, that's religion. Yes, I'm not talking about religion. I'm talking about love. If you love someone, you want to be with them. Come on. The Bible presents truth in three aspects. John chapter 14, verse 6. It says very clear. This, please hear this foundation. It's three aspects. How do we know what is how to be saved from deception? What is the truth? It's very clear. John chapter 16, verse 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I love this verse because no other religion is as direct as Jesus Christ. You look, I've done a bit of religion, world religions, studies, but I tell you, all religions focus on your behavior, and your behavior will lead you to a better life. Your behavior will lead you to this enlightenment. Your behavior will lead you to this. Jesus is not about behavior. Jesus is very clear. He says, you want to find God through me. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. No religion can say that. John 17, 17. It says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is the truth. What is the truth? 1 John chapter 5, verse 6. The Spirit who bears witness because the Spirit is the truth. The Spirit is the truth. That is the word of God. The Holy Spirit is the truth. And the Holy Spirit, can I just say this? The Holy Spirit is not here as your personal assistant. He's not your personal assistant. Find me a car park, Lord. Ooh, rabababa. He didn't die so that you can find a car park. He's not your personal assistant. We make the Holy Spirit like worse than Siri. Hey, Siri, what's the weather? Hey, Holy Spirit, make me feel good. I'm telling you, there are some nutcases in Pentecostal churches. Why? Because they base their theology on feelings, not on the word of God. We are a Pentecostal church, by the way. We are a spirit-filled church. We are, but I'm telling you, we need to know the word of God because we don't want to be deceived by the devil. Not everything that just makes look, ooh, this is good, that is not God. So, the truth, three aspects. I am the truth, the word is the truth, and the Spirit bears witness to the truth. Amen. Paul's warning against deception. Look at this. Paul is warning against deception. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3. But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. What he's saying is keep simple. Keep Christianity simple. Read the word, obey the word, follow the word. Keep it simple. Don't allow the devil to deceive. And that's how the Satan deceived Eve. How did Satan deceive? Did God really tell you not to eat that fruit? Did God really say that? Because if you eat the fruit, you will be like God. That's what, Genesis chapter 3. Read it. And the same way we will be deceived because we're like, oh, if you compromise here, you will get that. And deception comes in. How does deception enter into our minds and our hearts? How? Pride. Pride. Pride, pride, pride. We were driving in the car as a family. We were driving in the car as a family yesterday, and I think my son decided to say, hey, Dad, or my wife, my son, my daughter, but they all were very generous to tell me what areas am I prideful of. And so we all discussed, what are you, got pride in you and in you, in you, in you. And apparently I've got quite a lot of pride. I don't. It's sad that you're all laughing. Thank you. You know how pride enters? I don't want to ask for prayer. It's okay, I can fight this alone by myself. I don't need to be honest. I don't want to ask for prayer. We are a society full of secrets. We got secrets that are bigger than Mount Everest. And when we carry secrets, the Bible says carry the cross, not carry your burdens. Carry the cross, not your secrets, not your worries, not your fears. The Bible clearly says, hey, if you're sick, call upon the elders and let them anoint you and lay hands and pray for you. I tell you what, in that department, we are free because no one calls. We got a lot of time in that area because nobody calls. The sad part is people then say, when they're ready to break up, then say, oh, yeah, we're breaking up. Why didn't you firstly come and talk about it when you're going through it? We all need one another. Amen. Amen. And yet, we all have discernment, you know, I knew, remember, I mean, not remember, but you know how we all go, let's say if couple A and B are, you know, separated, and all of us will go, I knew something was up. Who made you the BBC? If you knew something was up, then why don't you go and say, look, God loves you and I love you. I know apparently I'm kind of quite intimidating, but I don't want to. God loves you. See, I'm lowly and gentle. God loves you. He cares for you. But what you're hiding is not good. You need somebody you need to speak with. And I tell you, when we do that, we will not be deceived to an extent because we need the word. We see that Lucifer was deceived pride in Ezekiel chapter 28. Okay, we touched on that last week. I won't dwell on that too much. Okay, how do we allow ourselves to be deceived? Here we go. Now I want to give you some practical things. How do we allow ourselves to be deceived? I've got a few points, okay? Bear with me. Number one, prophetic words. as a Pentecostal church. Oh, but God spoke that over me. That's a prophetic word. Don't chase after a prophetic word. Chase after God. Come on. Oh, I've been told I'm a missionary and I'm going to Africa. I'm going to go now. No way. There's such a thing called timing. There's such a thing called preparation. There's such a thing called submission. There's such a thing called allowing other people to speak into your lives and my life. Amen. Prophetic word. That person prophesied and it felt good. It must be God. No, the Bible says test every prophetic word. Just because somebody acts like, "Ooh, rock up, ooh, sha, thus saith the Lord of the Holy Ghost, today is the day, ya, ooh, ja, ha, ja, ooh, ja, ha, ja." Just because I do that doesn't make any holiness. Yerin, you will sit there and perceive, wow, this guy is very anointed. No, you are anointed too. Why do you discount yourself? You are equally anointed as I am. We all are. Hallelujah. So it doesn't matter if I'm going, hoo-cha, hoo-cha, boo-boo-boo-boo-boo, whatever music I'm making, sounds I'm making. What my point is, why don't you test the prophetic word with God's word? Number two, when we only look to human leaders, if a certain man says it, they believe it. Don't look to people, look to God. Don't look to me. I'm pastor, I'm leading you, but where am I leading you? To Christ, to the word of God, not to me. If I'm leading you to me, I tell you what, I got to give an account to God. And so I'm leading you to Christ. Please follow God, not people. There was a gentleman that came from the UK and he preached in one of the churches I went and visited. And that was the first time ever in my life I walked out. This was only a year ago. I walked out because everything he was speaking, it sounded right, but it's absolutely wrong. I walked out because my spirit vomited. And I did not like that. I had to go talk to the pastor later on. And I said, next time you do this, I'm not coming, let alone I bring people with me. Be careful. He looked holy. He looked like he knows what he's talking about. But no, he wasn't. Talking about himself, not the word. Creating spiritual atmosphere. Pentecostal churches, we are so about creating spiritual atmosphere. Let me tell you, you know what moves God is your holiness, not the atmosphere. That's quiet. What moves God? What attracts God is our holiness, not this atmosphere. Yes, there's room for that, but atmosphere, no, your love for Jesus moves him more than the atmosphere you create. I wrote something here. Worship is not to have a good time, but to worship God. How many of us have come to worship meetings and we go home and go, oh, that was a good time, but our lives don't change? Oh, I know some of you are losing your appetite for lunch. But I'm telling you, you know, because we like, oh, that was such a, oh, so good. He was so good. Oh, the music was good. What God is interested in is not about how good it was. Are you going to change? And I have people come and say, oh, that was a good word. Some people said that was an average word. You know, I don't really care about what you think and say about me because I believe that I bring a word prayerfully every week when I'm preaching that is the best that I can and the rest is God's. Now, if it's speaking to you, that means that's where you're at and the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And if it is attacking you, it's not me, it's the devil because he condemns. I also have to be careful too. I'm just saying that. But it's the word of God. Holy Spirit convicts, the evil spirit condemns. Okay. So worship, please don't focus too much on worship. Music, lights, camera, action. There were a few years ago, I was so tired of one of our sound guys. I was so tired of him. And I said, look, I'd cut all this out. I'll bring my acoustic guitar. I just want the other lights and I'll worship and God will be here. Don't focus on the lights, camera, action, and the fog and the smoke. We got to focus on Christ. These things are very important because, hey, we got to be relevant. Yes, but this is not going to save people. This is going to probably attract people, but not save people. What's going to save people is Jesus Christ. Amen. Come on. But we need these. Okay. Susceptible to flattery. We all love flattery. It's dangerous. If you love flattery, repent. Number five, those who are unwilling to face possibility of suffering and persecution. It's deception. Oh, I am struggling. That's not of God. No. In this world, you will have troubles. We live in this kind of theology, which is, we think Jesus is like cotton posh. You know, the toilet paper? It's soft, it's gentle, you know. Makes you feel good. No, he. What does the Bible say? He loves, because he loves, he chastises. He corrects those he loves. We don't like that part. We want the God that just gives us blessings like candy. But he says, hey, you pick up my cross and follow me. Pick up my cross, or your cross, and follow me. 1 Peter 4:1. So then, since Christ suffered physical pain, you must arm yourself with the same attitude he had and be ready to suffer too. For if you have suffered physically for Christ, you have finished with sin. You won't spend the rest of your lives chasing your own desires, but you will be anxious to do the will of God. How amazing is that? I don't want to follow God because he doesn't answer my prayer. I don't want to follow God because I didn't get to marry that girl. I don't want to follow God because I didn't get to marry that man. I don't want to follow God because I didn't get the job. It's like God is not an ATM machine. I'm talking about deception. This is another point here. Those who are ignorant to Scripture. How are we deceived? When we're ignorant to the Scripture. We may recognize deception, but we don't know what to replace that deception with. If you know the truth, then you replace that deception with the truth of the Word of God. I'm not talking about knowing in the head. I'm talking about application. I'm talking about application of the truth. Look, I'm not going to go into it, but there were times where even I was suicidal with my leg when I wasn't being healed and whatnot. Yes, but I had to keep moving out of my feeling and said, but the truth says that I am healed. The truth says that he has a plan and a purpose for me. Right now, all I see is death around me, but what I believe is hope and future.